This is Adam Nutter.
And this is Greg Trout.
And we're Nerds with Words, and you are listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
I was rearranging my soundboard so I could actually find stuff and putting stuff away that I don't really use much, but I can still get to it. So,
Bob K.
Bob, soon we see the presents.
Some of the cabinet.
You'll enjoy. Especially.
It's so fucked up.
See how many times I've listened to it?
Now I know what it says.
Bob K.
Supreme.
Bob K.
Oh, here we go.
Bob K.
What, honey?
Rap. Does it bother you that my backdrop looks a lot nicer than yours?
I did it for you because that's really
you have to look
straight.
At this.
I need to like squint so it's a little blurry because I don't. It's probably just your camera that's not really that straight, but it'll do. I'll pretend not to notice.
Oh my god! I took a level. Not only did I make sure that it lined up to the brick pattern, but I also took a level to it to make sure it was level. That fucker is level as hell.
Otherwise, the mirrors would all be sliding and crashing.
If it doesn't look right, it's because you're lopsided. Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And you're listening to episode 20 for Monday, May 29th, 2017.
So today we're going to talk about my tough-ass week, also what we're drinking and other beer-related stories.
We'll talk about the worst jobs in America, as well as the worst jobs we've had, and as always, a crazy news story.
All right. 20, the big
2-0. Episode 20. You know, I think when we got to episode 10, that was a big milestone for us. So it seems kind of silly now to look back and think, you know, we were excited about that. And now here we are with twice as many and just as excited.
Yeah. I mean, it's still crazy to me by the end of the year. We could very possibly be at episode 50 by the end of the year.
Ah, that'll be nice.
Like, it feels like, for me, it feels like we've been doing this for so long. Like, I don't know. It's part of my week now and we just
I don't know. Something to look forward to. Yeah. And yeah, you're right, here it is, you know, towards the tail end of May, and we worked on it for a good month before we actually went live, so that's probably a part of it. But yeah, here we are, you know, 5 full months pretty much in the book. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see what comes up.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to just kind of like sit back and do the podcast, because we have fun doing it. You know, we enjoy spending this time. It's my thing that I do outside of, you know, work and stuff with family and things like that. So it's kind of a nice way to end the week, especially this week. Just again, I think I bitched last week that my week kicked my ass, and so
yes,
you know, the trend continued this week, but luckily I have a 3-day weekend, so
that's something I've been looking forward to as well, with just getting the extra day, even though, you know, it's a day. But hey, at the same time, it's something that, you know, you kind of circle it on the calendar and just kind of set your sights on it to get the extra time in and a little bit of extra rest and maybe not having to do as much. But like you, I enjoy doing the show quite a bit, and I kind of mark it and just look forward to it each week. So for me it's a creative outlet, you know, something to focus on, like you said, outside of everything else that's going on. So it's a nice diversion, and I certainly enjoy talking to people about it and, you know, interacting on Facebook and Twitter. And again, this has been a lot better than I thought it would be.
You're welcome.
Hey, believe me, there's no one Bob. There's only two Bobs. So this is awesome.
We come as a pair.
That's right. Well, earlier I mentioned Facebook, and something that we changed earlier this week, mm-hmm. is a lot of you probably know if you saw the page, but we created a Facebook group, which is a little bit more interactive. So far it's actually working quite well. Basically how we wanted it. So we want, you know, more feedback, more interaction with everybody. So I think we've talked about it in a previous episode. This isn't so much us talking as it's us and you guys. So if you haven't had a chance yet to join the Facebook group, there's a link to it right on our Facebook page that you've probably already joined. And then there's also a link on the side that says groups. If you click that, it'll take you right in and join it and participate in the conversation, suggest show topics, or again, just have fun. So it's working great already.
Yeah, you know, I like the idea of the group because, you know, a lot of the stuff that we talk about is ideas and things like that we get from our listeners. So, you know, I think this is just an easier opportunity for people to, you know, host crazy shit that they run into throughout the week that they kind of think would mesh well with the show and things like that, and just communicate and talk amongst each other. And it'll be more fun having kind of everybody's participation versus just having a page.
Absolutely. Are you expecting to have a better week moving forward? Just, you know, I work, my stuff is very schedule based, so I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, I'll look forward to getting stuff out the door and then, you know, being able to relax a little bit, waiting for the next one. So are you able to enjoy that or at least look forward to that?
No, it's not going to get any better, Robert. It's no, you know, I kid.
I like your attitude.
I have kid, you know, because I run, you know, in my line of work, I operate by appointments, and I just have a lot of appointments. And it's not a bad thing because, I mean, honestly, that's how I get paid. So I'm busy and work kicks my ass, but at the same time, you know, it pays off from an income perspective. So I can't really complain all that much, but it is stressful because you have appointments. And then, you know, in my line of work as well, every day throws curveballs at me. So there's always something that I have to try to squeeze in between, my appointments and stuff like that in order to be able to get stuff done for my clients. But, you know, it's the name of the game. I signed up for it. I do love my job. As much as I sometimes complain about stuff here on the show,
absolutely.
I do enjoy what I do. And, you know, I really wouldn't have it any other way at the end of the day. So, but again, it's a mentally exhausting job doing what I do. And so,
very much similar on my end too. And one of the things that I try to remember when all that's happening, and a lot of the people that work with me, we're all going through it sometimes at the same time, sometimes at other times. But in my mind, I always think, you know, there's a lot of people sitting at home these days that are wishing that they had something to do, even to just be stressed about besides, you know, where the money's going to come from. So to be able to be bringing in money, even if it is stressful, at the same time, you know, the glass half full is to say, you know, hey, I've got a job. I'm happy to go to it and plow through it. And I'm good at what I do, as you are. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Yeah. And today I did get to meet Kelly for lunch, which was nice. So she drove up. Cool. We kind of met near my office, went to B-Dubs. Can't go wrong.
There you go.
And then I got home, realized that, you know, my brand new truck that I got last week, that I don't know if it was a goose or something, had just sprayed ass all over the front of the car. Like, it wasn't like, you know, the little, like, just white turd drops that show up on the car when a bird flies over and shits on the car. It was like, I mean, like a pile of shit on top of the car. And, I mean, it's a new car, so I'm not, you know, I'm not quite down with having shit. Really, I don't never want shit in my car. But especially right now. So got home, and the kids were driving Kelly nuts. So I said, hey, kids, go outside and wash Daddy's car. So, you know, they had a good time with the hose.
Put them to work.
It's great. You know, I mean, I did put them to work. They helped, kind of, you know. But, you know, it was one of those things, like, they helped me wash the car, and then we needed to give them a bath because they had gotten so dirty washing my car.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, the good thing is it's not quite hot yet. I know a lot of times around the summertime, whenever I get stuff onto my car, that I got to get it off because, you know, it's just going to bake in there.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's soon enough in the season that it's not hot enough to really cause a problem. So glad you got it washed, and you're glad you got the boys a little bit of exercise.
Yeah, and if I do sound a little bit raspy and clear in my throat, just so you know, I'm getting over a cold. So
yeah, I had one last week too. It was kind of, you know, after the end, it was, I think it started on Mother's Day. We were out at the one of the local national parks, and towards the end of the day, I thought, you know, it's just allergies, but it really lingered for a few days and it felt like a cold too. So it seemed like a lot of people that I talked to were going through the same thing. So I feel you. So nothing like a good beer.
I do like beer. Hey, how about we talk about the beer we're drinking?
Hey, bartender!
He's beating around the bush. Let's just get to it. I need to start drinking this beer.
I've been sipping mine a little bit.
I haven't tried mine yet. This is a new one for me.
What do you got?
So what I have here is a Young's Double Chocolate Stout by Wells. Nope. What I have here is a Young's Double Chocolate Stout by Wells. What I have here is a Young's
What reset.
I woo
stretch.
What I have here is a Young's Double Chocolate Spout. Okay, got this. I got this. What I have is a Young's Double Chocolate Stout by Charles Wells in Bedford, UK.
That's who made the banana bread, right?
I think so. I feel like I've had some of their beer before. The bottle looks familiar, like the design and the logo looks familiar. But this is a new beer I've never had before. So I'm going to dig in here, and then I'm going to talk to you about it via the Charles Wells website.
All right, let me see. Oh, that's dark. And see, that's what I thought the banana bread was going to look like. That's exactly what I thought it was going to be. But you know, when you mentioned that it was a lot lighter, but that's the exact color. So
yeah,
how is it?
It's black as night. It's good. I like it. Definitely some chocolate in there, and you know, it's good.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
I'm about to. So the Young's Double Chocolate Stout is 5.2% alcohol by volume. Unsurprisingly, for a beer from the Young's stable, Double Chocolate Stout has been recognized as an award-winning brew on several occasions. Luxurious and at the same time with a hint of decadence, Young's Double Chocolate Stout has it all, delivering a satisfying, indulgent taste without ever becoming overly sweet. Pale ale and crystal malt, chocolate malt, and special blend of sugars, Fuggle and Golding hops, real dark chocolate, and chocolate essence are combined to deliver a stout of the real credentials. It says, tasting notes, chocolate malt, and real dark chocolate are combined with Young's award-winning rich, full-flavor dark beer to craft a satisfyingly indulgent but never overly sweet experience. You can taste and you can smell it too. Chocolate, there's some vanilla, some coffee in there. It's pretty sweet, a little bit of bitterness, but not much. I don't know what the IBUs are on it, but it's pretty good. It's very smooth going down my gullet.
Yeah, I'm looking at it on Rate Beer, and it's rated a 97, so looks like people like it quite a bit, although if you scroll down and see some of the other ratings, but I guess the overall rating is very high, but it says Charles Wells, which was the banana bread beer, but it looks like it initially started as Young's, which is why the bottle actually says that, and then they changed it to Wells and Young's, and then the brand acquired solely by Charles Wells in 2011. So I'm pretty sure that's who had the banana bread. So all the same folks.
Yeah, it's good, and I do recommend it. Like I said, it's really smooth. I'm digging it. I'm going to top it off here. As you can see, I'm actually drinking
another big bottle,
out of a beer glass. It's a big bottle. It wouldn't fit in my 16-ounce glass. Luckily, I didn't pour it like my nitro porter as well.
That would have been everywhere.
No, so it's got a little malty head at the top. But yeah, try it. If you like the stouts, especially the chocolate stouts, you can definitely taste the chocolate. It's good.
Yeah, I think I've seen that at Total Wine when I've gone through, and I've, you know, a lot of times especially with the stouts, the stuff that I don't normally drink, I don't always pick them up, but I'm pretty sure I've seen that bottle, so I'll add it to my list.
What do you got going on?
Well, I've got something that is also new to me. I've had the Victory brand before. I'm not quite sure until I check in Untappd, but I've got a Blackboard number 5, cream ale with cold brew coffee. And it's an ale, so it isn't that dark. I had another coffee type stout upstairs, which I'm sure would have been darker, but this one said ale, and that's tends to be what I drink, so it's pretty good. I need to drink a little bit more of it to see if I can taste the coffee in there, which I didn't. I tasted more of the cream ale part of it.
Yeah.
But it says, we're excited to announce we'll be bringing back the Blackboard series for 2017. First up for the year is Blackboard number 5, cream ale with cold brew coffee. Fragrant coffee aroma surface from this smooth cream ale. Cold brewed coffee adds rich, roasty notes to this medium body and effervescent brew. The malts are Pilsner and Carafoam, 6.5% alcohol by volume, so I'll be drunk faster than you.
Not if I don't drink faster than you.
Well, you've got more, too, but the flavor notes, a clean blonde brew, unassuming, coffee aromatic, surprise the nose, smooth roasted flavor, all derived from the addition of cold brewed coffee on a lightly bready base. So available in 12-ounce bottles on draft, from February through May. So, shit, I got to finish this up. I got a couple more days before this expires.
Nice. I feel like it would be hard to get a lot of coffee taste in a light beer, though. I mean, coffee's a dark liquid, right?
It's there. And I drink, you know, it's one of the things I want to talk about at some point with coffee. Do you drink a lot of ice, or you tend to be hot? Or do you drink much iced coffee?
I do. I tend to drink more like the ice espresso beverages.
Okay.
So I'll get
lattes and stuff.
And a little bit, but I'll get more like when I go to Starbucks, I get an Americano if it's iced.
Okay.
Which is basically espresso and water with ice in it. So
Yeah, I tend to get the cold brew, and I have a cold brew machine, or not a machine, but it's a maker up there. And Melissa's always mocking me about drinking that. I guess she thinks it's more of the yuppie type, you know, thing that I can drink while I'm driving around in my car and you know, with a lid, with no lid, of course.
Yeah, I've had a couple of Starbucks cold brews, and it's pretty good. It's good coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little smoother, and it doesn't, especially when you're drinking it, you know, rather than just taking hot coffee and watering it down, it's a bit smoother. So it's good, and I like to make that, and then I'll pour that, especially during the summer. It's a nice thing to have. But no, this is good. After my second taste, I can taste a bit more of the coffee in it. It's not probably not as strong as what yours is with the chocolate, but it's there. It's kind of there's more of a hint to it than having an overwhelming coffee taste. So I like it.
Yeah, I feel like with the darker beers, it's easier to shove a bunch of chocolate and coffee and shit in there. So
yeah, something that's I'll try the other one. I'll save it for next week, I think, so I can compare them. But I'm going to go ahead and add this to Untappd now. And if anybody is interested, you can find us both on Untappd. I'm at RobertK328, and you are?
I'm at PhilRoberts33.
All right, I've checked in.
Here, should I do mine, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here, I'm going to do a picture and everything. I'm going to put your ass in the background, too. Let's see here.
That's part of the fun in Untappd is taking a picture so you can see what the bottle looks like. And I like to go through and see what other people's pictures are. So.
Well, mostly I've just felt like you give me shit when I don't do my own picture, so I just...
I'm at level 20 photographic badge there, so at five per, I got, although that doesn't seem right, that would only seem to be 100, and I've got 946 total beers, 276 unique.
That's crazy.
I'm really going to amount to something.
See, the thing is, though, I don't, you're going places, buddy.
I've been on the Untappd forever.
You really have. I joined last year, but I never really used it until...
November 2010.
Yeah, you've been on it a while. But you know what? Another thing I don't do is I don't really record it if I've had the beer before.
Well, yeah, I do. That's why it's in there. So I can look to see what that does. It helps me see if it's something that I've liked before. If I've just had it one time, I tend to look and see what my rating is. But otherwise, I look to see if I've had it 3, 4, 5 times. Then, you know, I know it's pretty good. So,
ooh, I unlocked a badge.
See?
Level 25. Apprentice, 25 different beers. All right, and also heavyweight. You like it thick and dark?
Ah, yeah.
What do you think we were talking about? That's 20 different beers with the style of porter and stout. Try 5 more to unlock level 5. Challenge accepted.
Nice.
I tagged you.
Congratulations.
I tagged you in it too. If you look at the picture, you're in the picture.
Am I in the back? Yeah. Usually, I add. You know, on the show ones, I usually tag you, but I think I forgot this time.
You son of a bitch.
Oh well. Hey, well, speaking of beer, just see out there in Germany, there's a metal festival. I'm sure I'll botch this, but it's the Wacken Open, W-A-C-K-E-N.
Wacken?
Wacken Open Air. It's a heavy metal festival in August.
You said Wacken.
And they're building it because there's so many people, and of course, you know, at a metal festival, I'm sure it's quite dangerous to go across these fields, but they're basically going to pipe in the beer, and they're already starting to work on it in what, we're 3 months away?
This is crazy. I feel like I need one of these going to my house. That would be awesome. I needed to bring a different beer every time, though, and I suppose I don't need 40. I suppose I don't need 400 thousands of liters of beer at any particular moments either. But
well, you should.
I mean, 7 kilometers long. You know, it
4.5 miles.
That's a good amount. That's a good amount of distance just to carry beer, so they don't have to have people walking back and forth between the field.
Yeah, it's an underground pipeline to send 400,000 liters of beer to a festival. You know, they're expecting 75,000 people, so, you know, all standing in a field. So rather than having to navigate the kegs through there, they're just going to pipe it in from, you know, a safe distance. So, yeah, I read somewhere, and it's not in this particular article, but they'll be able to pour 6 pints per second, basically, is how much pressure is going to be behind it. So it's not like they're, you know, even though they have to pipe it in from so far away, it's not like they're going to have to wait for it or... You know, it's going to be a slow tap. They're going to be able to pour it and just keep rolling. So I'd be curious to see if this spreads to other festivals that, you know, they just realize that it's easier to do. And obviously they've thought about it. Yeah, there it is. It's enough pressure to pour 6 beers in 6 seconds. So ingenious. Leave it to the Germans.
And their Wacken Festival.
Wacken Open Air Festival. Yeah, and it looks like Alice Cooper, Marilyn Manson, Megadeth. So this is going to be some hardcore stuff.
Did you get your tickets yet?
It says tickets are still available. $250.81. I don't know what it says PP, and I don't, it's, although it's got a dollar, it's got a dollar sign. I'm sure it translates somehow. Some but sort of. If anybody knows how German, you know, money translates to U.S., let me know what.
Well, they use the euro.
Maybe I'll just book it and let you know.
Yes. Have Siri. Hey Siri, how many euro in a dollar? Here, she's gonna tell
me. Well, it says $250. Maybe because it knows I'm in the U.S., but. That's pretty cool. It'd be worth it just to go over there and see how the beer pipes in.
$1 is 89 cents.
One euro is $1 is 89.89 euros.
Huh.
So figure that math out. Cool. I'm not going to do it, though, because I don't feel like it.
Your week is over. Yeah. You got people to do that
so
for
you. So you have all these people, they're all drinking the same beer?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It never really says exactly what it is. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have, you know, if they have a couple of these pipelines. But yeah, it's not really specific. It's been getting, you know, in a lot of the different sites that I read during the week, I've seen it quite a bit. So,
well, hopefully they're not just serving Natural Light because that stuff is nasty.
It is nasty. Would you be able to guess, if you had to guess, what the worst rated beers are as far as taste are in the United States?
Well, if I haven't.
We've talked about it in the past, you know, when you put a ceiling fan up, so. I'm sure you know that's in there somewhere.
Bud Light has to be in there, right? I would think it's mostly just the, you know, the big brands, because I mean let's be honest, they go for volume, they don't necessarily go for taste, and the people like the beer snobs of the world like you and I, if we get our hands on a survey asking us what the worst beers are, it's gonna be you know, just the Coronas and the, you know, the Milwaukee's Best and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of Corona. I know people love it, and I like to put the lime in there. But, you know, looking at this list, some of the ones that are, you know, not guaranteed, I guess, but some of these that have been determined to be the worst tasting are also some of the highest selling. But, I mean, they basically took the ratings from Beer Advocate, which is a rating review site, and determined based on those reviews what they are. So there's 25 here on the list, and number 25 of the worst is O'Doul's, which is a non-alcoholic.
Yeah, have you had O'Doul's before?
I have. It's been a long time, and I don't remember why. I'm sure there was some reason that I went with a non-alcoholic, but might have been before I was 21, but I don't think so. I want to say it was after that sometime, but I don't remember it being that good. How about you?
No, I've never had it because, I mean, it's the same thing to me as drinking decaf coffee. Like, why are you drinking coffee if you're not going to have any caffeine in it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, shitty beer is shitty beer, whether it, you know, I'm not going to drink it just because it's beer. Like, it's going to have to give me a little bit, a little something.
We've already both had the 25th worst, so how about we go through the list and we'll count whether we've had them or not. So you want to keep score?
Good idea. Yeah, here, let me take my pen. I cleaned my desk off, so I actually have sprawling room, because I have a shelf behind me now with all my empties on it. If we ever do a video podcast, you know what? I'll take a picture. I did post it on social already.
You did post, yeah. It looks nice.
It's pretty fucking cool.
I like looking at it. I got to step up my game here, but the room I was going to use, I was kicked out of. So
all right.
Number 25, O'Doul's. We've both had that.
No, I never had it. There we go. Perfect. All right.
Number 24. I know we've had this, Miller Lite.
Yeah, I've had it.
Okay, that's both of us. Number 23, Labatt Blue Light.
Yep.
No. You?
Oh, yeah, I've had it.
You've had it? All right, well, no for me.
I'm right next to Canada. Come on now.
All right. 22, Red Dog.
I don't think I've had Red Dog.
Okay, me either.
All right.
Number 21, King Cobra Premium Malt Liquor.
Never even heard of it. So far, we're tied.
All right. Number 20. We both have this. We just talked about it. Corona.
Yeah.
Extra.
I've had all the Coronas.
Number 19, Old English 800.
There'd be a negatory over here.
All right. Nope. Number 18, Wild Blue.
Nope.
Nope. Number 17, and I don't know exactly what this is and why it's different, but Budweiser Select.
I have had this one, Robert.
Ah, you have, but I have not. Ooh. 16, Bud Ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's quality stuff. We've both had that.
It's quality.
Number 15, Busch Beer.
I'm sure I've had it.
Yeah, that's probably one of those. I think that's one of those college days when that was all that was there. So we'll say yes for both. Now, this one, I know I've had 14 and 13, and they're pretty much the same. Number 14, Milwaukee's Best.
So I think I have had Milwaukee's Beast, but I don't think I've had Milwaukee's Beast Light.
All right. I don't know which one, so I'll play.
You've had them both?
I've had. I'll say yes. Knowing the crew that I hung out with, I'll say yes.
I think you're just doing it so you can catch up to me.
I don't know who wins, though, so it doesn't really matter. At the end, we'll decide.
Are you really winning if you...
We'll figure out how I win somehow, please. Although you need a win, so I think we'll make it there. Thank you. Number 12, Keystone Ice.
I don't think so.
No, that's a no for me. Number 11, Miller 64, which I don't know what that is.
No, I've never had it.
I'll say no.
For the best.
Number 10, we've both had this. The Silver Bullet Coors Light.
Yep, with the Blue Mountains.
With the taste can. Didn't they have that when it was cold? It would start to turn blue.
Technologically advanced can. The mountains turn blue, yeah.
Yeah, if it was ready to be indulged. It's never ready to be indulged. Number 9, Natural Ice.
Yeah, I've had it.
You have? All right. Well, I have not.
You're a better man for that.
We're getting close here. I thought we... Oh, Keystone Light, and I'll say no to that.
No, no here.
All right, number 7, Busch Light.
Yeah.
You already had Busch, and I don't... You did?
Yeah, I've had it.
All right, I'll say no. I know for a fact. Number 6, we both...
Yeah, I've...
I'd say we both had Bud Light.
Can you... Are you really telling the truth if you're, you know, a guy in your 30s, 40s, whatever, and you say you've never had Bud Light? Like, you can hate it, and I don't like Bud Light, but I have to... I mean, I just had it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've had it. And that's, you know, at Nats games, that's what they have. I mean, Bud is one of the big sponsors there, and they've got the whole Budweiser bar, and so they have people drinking those, the metallic, you know, bottles. So
that's why I look for the craft beer stand in section, you know, 985 in the corner, so that way I can get some good beer.
Nats Park, if you get down here at some point, Nats Park is great for craft beer. They've got a whole bunch of different kinds to drink there, and even coming around, you know, waving the bottles, you know, out in the stand. So it's pretty good over there. So yeah, that was Bud Light. All right, now we're to the top 5 worst tasting beers. Number 5, Corona Light.
Yeah, I've had it.
I'll say we both had that. Yeah. Number 4, and I don't know why this is different, but I guess if I had read all of it. Number 4, Bud Light and Clamato Colada, which, it's the fruit variety.
Oh, no, I haven't had it.
So now I'll say no for that. Number 3, Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, I've had it. It's the low-carb one.
Probably snuck some Michelob from my dad when I was a kid, so I'll say yeah. Number 2, Budweiser Select 55.
I don't think I've had it.
I'll say no. Yeah, number 1, Anheuser-Busch Natural Light.
Yeah, I've had it.
I'll say yeah. All right. You tally those up.
All right, so what are you thinking here? Just by going through, who do you think won this?
Well, we never determined who wins.
What's the over-under?
Who's had the most? Who's had the most? You've had the most, I think.
Yeah.
Or who's had...
Well, okay, so out of the top 25 worst beers in America...
I'll say you're 15 and I'm 13.
Close.
Really?
I've had 14 of the 25 top beers in America.
I better not
have
more. Robert,
you've had 12 of the top 25 beers. So... I mean, I would say probably you've...
That's close, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we're just going by score, I won. But if we're going by, you know...
Who's the smartest?
If we're going by who has the best taste in beer...
Does this determine who's in charge?
It does not.
I got to try every week.
Yeah, so I'd say you probably won just because you've had less of the nastiest beers. Congratulations.
Well, that's good. Wow. I don't know what I win, but I'm sure there'll be a prize in the mail sometime this week.
I don't know. I'm just hoping the Tigers win tonight.
Yeah. So did they win last night? Were they still playing the Astros?
No. Yeah, we lost the series 3-1.
Okay. I saw it on Quick Pitch this morning, but I was doing show prep, so I didn't quite see.
It's when they're hot, they're hot, and when they're not, they're not. It's just consistency, and it's you know, it seems like when our bats are on fire, our pitching struggles, or our pitching's great, our bats just aren't hitting the ball, and whatever. They're stressing me out. I don't want to talk about it. You're upset.
Well, hey, you know what won't stress you out before we jump into our next segment? You know, last week we had a little bit of a scare with a voicemail. Now, we love people calling in. We love to bust people's chops. We love for you to bust our chops, but I don't know whether to be concerned about this or whether this is, you know, this is where I've got to get my phone and just dial 91 and wait to dial the third digit, you know, the second one on there. What do you've heard this?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about me because he seems to be targeting you.
Yeah, well, that's true.
How's your can?
Well, my can, I'm sitting on it, but if you remember last week, I'll play this one here. It's brief.
Bob K. You will soon receive the presents.
You'll enjoy. Especially the prize. And I don't know what the hell that means. I can recite it because I've listened to it for so many times, but evidently my enemy, has been listening and decided, I guess after last week's show, decided to leave a follow-up.
Okay. What does Robert like to watch you sweep? Did you enjoy your can? Was it tasty with ham?
He's got to put the evil laugh in, too.
Nightmares.
Are they wonderful?
Now, is it me or does it sound like he had his head down in the toilet? Oh, is that where the echo was coming from?
Or like a prison cell, maybe.
That's right. Standing in the corner of, you know, Shawshank there waiting for his sentence to be commuted. But I don't know. It's weird. The good thing is we did get a little bit of clarification because last week we couldn't understand any of it. Yeah. This week was at least a little bit clearer.
Well, but I mean, you've listened to it probably 1.5 million times since then.
I have. A little bit creepy, but hey, I'm ready for next week where the third call comes in and maybe expands on it. Maybe this is one of those things where eventually over time it gets clear and then the voice changes, you know, like those pictures where you kind of look at it and you're waiting to see what it is and, you know, eventually it, you know, it comes to you.
And then eventually we just have him on the show.
Eventually we'll have him on the show, or eventually there is no more show anymore because, you know, I'm laying in a pool of blood, you know, somewhere in a parking lot, but hopefully not.
If you figure out who he is, then feed him a Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby. Yeah, I sent you this earlier this week, and on one hand, it's kind of funny because,
it is funny.
You know, like I said earlier, F Bill Cosby, you know, don't let him F you. But this DC bar came up with, you know, kind of a play on words of Bill Cosby and called it the Pill Cosby. And it's a red liquor with a Casa Noble tequila, hibiscus syrup, lime juice, pineapple juice, garnished with faux pills. And this little plastic pill sitting on the top of this. But this Washington, D.C.-based retail restaurant and bar concept has been selling a magenta-hued $14 beverage with faux pills on it that I guess evidently the internet backlash, of course, all the people that took pictures of it because they had to order it, and they've taken it off the menu. It says, this drink was a one-time item. Its inclusion as an offering of ours was in poor taste, and we've taken all necessary steps to ensure it won't happen again. I can see the point. You know, it's a serious thing, and I really feel strongly about these things, and at the same time, I could kind of see the humor in it. I'm hoping he's gonna spend the rest of his short remaining years in jail. So
I don't know. Call me a dick, but I think it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's I can see both sides.
I
kind of
had that sick humor a little bit, though. Like, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's harmless, yeah. I mean, there's little pills floating in the top of the drink.
You know? Hey, I think it's one of those things that if it didn't happen to you, it's probably easier to laugh at it.
Looks
but,
tasty,
you know,
though.
Anybody who's, it does look, yeah, it does look good if you take the little plastic faux pills out of it. So I'd order it for $14.
I'd order it.
$14. Now, would that be a girly
put
drink, though?
Real pills in it.
It's magenta.
Well, you know, I'd have to order it and then, you know, maybe order a Long Island iced tea after that.
Have Kelly order it and then, you know, you switch them when it comes.
There you go. There you go. A couple weeks ago, not to call out my brother-in-law who's engaged and his friends, but we met at a bar on a Friday night because not everybody knows each other, so we wanted all the groomsmen to kind of get together and get to know each other a little bit. And, cool. One of them ordered blowjobs for the whole table.
For everybody.
Not real blowjobs, but the shot glass ones with the whipped cream on top that you're supposed to try to take down in one gulp.
Well, I think this was probably in that same, you know, in that same vein, just to be a little silly. So, well, too bad. This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why we can't, because of oversensitive people. Overly sensitive. I'm just going to keep drinking beer. I feel like I can't offend anybody.
It's right? Easy. No, mine's good. I'm getting towards the bottom of it. So,
I'm on the bottom half too.
Going back earlier to, you know, we were discussing work, and I think last week we even talked about work a little bit, but there's a list out there that came out recently of the 10 worst jobs of 2017. And I'm going to scroll down here, and I don't think either one of us have anything to worry. So have you looked at the list?
I have looked at the list. And what's funny to me is I always think, when I think of the worst jobs, I always think of like the dirtiest jobs or the nastiest yeah. jobs, like the guy who has to scrub the inside of Porta Johns or and things like that.
Yeah.
But they went, you know, this company went a little bit, CareerCast went a little bit deeper into it, and they looked at things like median salary, expected job growth over the next several years, level of competition, yeah. amount of physical work required, safety hazards, amount of stress, and things like that. So this is actually kind of more of a realistic type of 10 worst jobs in America. So
yeah, like you said, not somebody just, you know, scooping crap or, you know, replacing the guy that's got to sell the little discs that go into a men's urinal. This is something that you're probably not going to want to look at any of these career paths going in the future. If you're getting ready to graduate from high school like my niece, don't look at any of these.
No, these are more like, I would say, more fillers than anything else. Nothing else to do right now. Maybe some of these wouldn't be too bad. But yeah, if you look like number 10 is taxi driver. So show salary. Again, median salary, $23,510. Expected job growth, although I was surprised, 13% over the next several years. And I'm thinking it's probably because of services like Uber and Lyft. But at the same time, they've gotten a lot of heat over the way they treat their employees and things like that. And I mean,
well, that's what I wonder if Uber, I mean, the picture shows Uber, but it doesn't really say whether they're included in there really as a taxi driver, because that's kind of a for hire or a limousine service type.
Yeah, I suppose.
Type thing. So it's hard to know. And I know Uber is really, and Lyft have caused the taxi industry to really go into some upheaval because of, you know, not really requiring special licenses and requirements that normal taxi drivers would have. So, you know, I can see that.
Well, not
that.
To mention,
now, would you ever drive for Uber, you think?
No, I wouldn't. I just, yeah. You know, Robert, I'm too fucking busy as it is. And last thing I want to do is cart a bunch of, you know, randoms
around
per their request whenever.
All right.
No.
You never know who you're going to pick
not
up.
Not for me. How about you?
I've thought about it. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, kind of trying to figure out if there's any way to make any little bit of extra money. And, you know, you get a new car, you're like, all right, well, you know, I'll offset some of this. And, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was the same kind of thing. I just don't want to drive people around. And I like talking to people, and I like meeting people, but no, that's okay.
I would do it if I could turn it into like a cash cab type of thing.
What's that, Las Vegas cab? What was that show on HBO? Dash Cab Confessions?
Oh,
Taxi Cab Confession.
Cash Cab is an American game show on, I think it's on Discovery. So you've never seen this?
Cash Cab?
Yeah.
I just made that up.
No, Cash Cab's a real thing. No, it's some guy. So what he does, I think he's in New York or something like that, but it's on Discovery Channel. I swear to God, I don't know if it's still on, but basically the guy it was in like a minivan type of cab. He would pick people up in the cab. They'd get in, and he would give them trivia questions to win money while they were driving around.
Discovery Channel.
But it's cool. He had it all like rigged up with like LED lights and the ceiling and stuff like that. So when there was a question that was right, that was answered correctly, there would be lights and sounds and stuff and celebration noises going off. It was actually kind of funny.
I'll add it to my DVR.
Do it.
All right, number 9. I've been there. I wouldn't go. Well, if I had to, I would go back there. But you can see the writing on the wall over this one. Number 9 is retail salesperson with a salary, median salary of $22,040 a year. Expected job growth is 7%. And this looks like JCPenney that they're inside. But, you know, the growth of Amazon and online shopping for pretty much everything, including groceries. Yeah, I don't see a lot of retail outlets, and especially the big stores are closing. Even stores that you and I frequent fairly often, you know, Best Buy, those type of stores are really hurting.
Yeah.
Because of the online market. So, yeah, retail salesperson is not really a great place to be.
First off, that's Kohl's, not JCPenney.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Kohl's. Because they have the digital sign.
You're right, a little digital sign. Yeah,
that's right.
See? That's why they're going out of business, because I don't know what the sign looks like.
I go there every once in a while. Like, you know, sometimes they just need clothes, and you want to try them on. And, you know, but
yeah.
For a pair of jeans, like if I want a nice pair of jeans, Amazon all the way, because I can get... because it's Amazon. But yeah, I've had a couple of jobs in retail sales. I've had two that were actually commission-based retail sales that were just years ago. And I don't think you could pay me enough to work in retail at this point in my life. Like I thought it would be cool to work like in an Apple store, and I have management experience, so I was like, well, shit, I could probably get a job in management at an Apple store. But then I'm like, I'm working retail, and I'm working, you know, I'm working at midnight on Thanksgiving, and I'm working on Christmas Eve, and I'm just like, I don't want to do any of that.
Sundays, that's my biggest thing, you know, in thinking about that is, you know, Sundays are, I'm a bigger football fan, I think, than you, but Sundays are always, that's the day for football. So it comes once a week. It's not like baseball where, you know, you've got 162 games, and if you're lucky, the playoffs, where it's almost every day, where if I miss, like tonight, the Nats are playing. So, you know, I don't mind missing it, but, you know, having to work on a Sunday would be tough. And I fought that battle for a long time, so thankfully not anymore.
No, I just, football or not, I don't want to fucking work on a Sunday. I need there to be at least one day every week where there's just no way that I'm possibly going to be working. And Sunday, literally, I can't get into my office on a Sunday. It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, Sundays are off limits for me, and therefore retail is as well. So number 8 is firefighter, median salary $46,870, and expected job growth 5%. My brother-in-law is a firefighter. I have a ton of respect. I know other people who are firefighters and work in that field. Yep. That either that or like the paramedic type, you know, field, first responders, and I have a ton of respect for them and what they do. But you won't catch me doing it.
That's hard stuff, and definitely with the danger. I think that's something that's there. It takes a special mindset, I think, to be able to do that. And, you know, we definitely need them. So, you know, it's not like it's going away. I mean, fires are still going to happen and EMT needs are still going to happen. But, yeah, that's a tough one. And the hours are long. And yeah. The work is hard and, like I said, dangerous. So,
well, my brother-in-law is a firefighter. So, you know, and he'll tell you where you're working, because they work 24-hour shifts. So, I mean, you're sleeping some of the time. But he goes, even when you're sleeping, you're not really sleeping because – I mean, at any moment, just the fact that at any moment an alarm could go off and you need to basically jump to it and wake up. My whole thing is, once I'm asleep, good luck. A tornado couldn't get me to wake up. So, you know, you try to get me to be active and wake my brain up in the middle of the night when I'm wanting to be sleeping. It's just not compatible with me either.
No, not at all. But hey, glad that they're out there. And again, yeah, we definitely need them.
Oh, thank you for what you do, for sure.
Number 7, advertising salesperson. Now, I've done this kind of in the past, but on the other end, where I've bought advertising, and, you know, it's just sales, especially these days where, you know, it's basically everything is online. So, you know, newspaper ads, magazine ads, a lot of that print-based material are going away. So it's tough. You know, you're really competing with everybody, and a lot of times trying to sell limited areas, and people always want to be in the key spots, and then they don't want to pay for it. So it was a hard work 20 years ago, so I'm sure it's probably worse now.
Well, yeah, if you look at expected job growth, -3%, so they're expecting less demand. But like you said, everything's going online, everything's electronic, and I think just with social media, a lot of companies are turning toward more of the organic ways to get advertising through word of mouth and things like that through social media, which, I mean, you know, you can hire a team of people to run your social media and pay it hardly anything compared to what you would be paying for print advertising and television and things like that. Plus, you can target your audience. You know, I mean, that's one of the great things about the way that advertising is going. It's not all about just, you know, blast a message out to as many people as possible in hopes that a good percentage of them are interested in what you're selling. It's about, okay, how can we target directly? And you do that online. You do it through social media. You don't need salespeople for that. So,
yeah, I think the big thing, I mean, it's hard to kind of put us against the big giants, but, you know, a lot of our word of mouth comes through social media. We have a really good Twitter following. We have a lot of people on Instagram that like our stuff. We do Facebook, and that's really how our word is spread, because that's where people are. So you're right. That's a big key part of it too.
So number 6 is DJ, salary $30,080, expected job growth -11%. People just don't want music apparently anymore. That's a pretty big drop. Yeah, like, what's causing the DJ industry to plummet over the next several years? I mean, I think people are still getting married. I mean,
but I think it's easy enough to, you know, set up speakers and hook your iPod into it. Or
what kind of janky ass weddings are you attending, though?
Yeah, who wants to sit there and do that? But I haven't been to a wedding in a long time. You've got a bunch of people, but I got nobody that I know that's getting married anytime soon.
Bunch of shit to do with weddings next year is going to be. God, it's so expensive too. But they all have DJs or bands, though. That's the thing. But you know, at the same time, I don't know. I think it would be kind of fun to do it, though. I'm not going to.
No. There's a DJ in the neighborhood. He's always advertising his stuff on our, you know, community Facebook group, and I'd be surprised that if he were to say whether his prospects are doing well. But maybe it depends on the area too, you know, in some of the more saturated areas versus, you know, just kind of finding a niche. He probably does okay, but it's still hard. And how many times do you need a DJ? So who knows? But I guess that would have been the case before.
We got a guy in the neighborhood who every year for Halloween sets up his DJ booth in his front yard and plays music. But it's, you know, so you just, you know, to get to his house, you just have to follow the
follow the tunes. Number five, not too surprising, but I think it's a lot like the other things where you don't really see it going away. But maybe through more organic stuff is out there. But number five is pest control worker, salary $32,160, expected job growth -1%. And I know nobody that does this, but
we have a lady that comes.
There's still pests out there.
We have a lady that comes into our office. I think she's with Orkin or something like that, but she's fucking weird. I don't know.
Too many fumes.
I don't know what it is. She's really interested in bugs.
Yeah, I mean, I think about these people. They've got to inhale this, and you know they don't always use the, you know, OSHA required masks, and it's just forget it. You know, I've been doing this for 10 years, and I don't need it, and I'd be terrified. I'd have that mask on all the time. I don't want to breathe that
stuff. True story. So number four here is enlisted military personnel. Much like the firefighter, you know, we love you for what you do for our country, what you do for, you know, for our safety. At $27,936, after 3 years of experience to risk your life for the country. Again, it's not something
No growth.
No, I won't be, you know, I did my due diligence when I turned 18 and signed up for the draft, but ever since then, you know, I haven't had much interest in joining the military after that.
No. Number three, logger. $36,210, expected job growth -4%.
Cutting down some trees.
Nothing around here for that, I don't think. Nope. So.
I'm good.
Number two, that's us.
Broadcasters.
Holy shit, we're in the wrong line of business.
Salary $37,720.
It's probably minus that, I mean, for us.
If I... Are we supposed to be making that?
That would be sweet.
Love to supplement my income with an extra $37,720. I think because, I mean, realistically, though, I think a lot of this is because of the fact that people are getting their news from other sources. People are getting things like, you know, people are going to podcasts and for their news and their entertainment and things like that. So, you know, expected job growth, -13% over the next couple of years. Not a good time to get into this field. Luckily, we just do it for a, you know, for something to do.
Shits and giggles.
S's and G's.
Showtime.
What's the worst job in America, Robert? That's what. Shits and giggles. That'd be a great show title.
All right. Number one, the worst job in America actually ties into number seven. And this one is not at all surprising. It's a newspaper reporter with a median average salary, $36,360, and expected job growth at -9%. So I got out of the newspaper business a long time ago, and that's one of those things that, you know, circulations are constantly going down. The advertising is hard to sell. More people going online. So not a lot of people out there, and they've even fired the photographers that have been with these companies for a long time have been gone too. So newspaper reporters, I'm sure they can just churn through people willing to do the work and write. So I think a lot of them go online.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, I don't remember the last time I actually subscribed to a newspaper.
We get the Sunday one because it's got the ads and the comics and all that stuff.
We don't even do that. And the only newspapers we get are the local ones that they throw at the bottom of our driveway, and which is basically just an errand for me to pick it up and throw it directly into the recycle bin in the garage. But
as you're walking past it to take the trash out.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of shitty jobs there, Robert. But, you know, I think we're lucky enough to have jobs that we enjoy, but I mean, for me anyways. It wasn't always that way.
You talked about the worst one you had last week, and I think I tried to reference it earlier this week when we were chatting on Messenger. Was it insurance sales or mortgage sales on the phone?
I worked for a prominent mortgage company. You may hear the advertisements about an online-based mortgage company based out of Detroit, Michigan. They weren't based out of Detroit when I worked for them. But yeah, Quicken Loans. I sold mortgages for them maybe 15 years ago, and God, it was just it.
That's
you
hard.
Know, some people are okay with it, but for me, just dialing for dollars every single day, trying to get people to do mortgages from and give credit card numbers and social security numbers and things like that to somebody who they've never actually met.
Sure,
it's tough work. And then you know, we'd get these leads that would come in, and these. And, you know, half the time they were just people who were thinking they were going to get a rate online. So they put their information in there, and they're like, okay, a million people are going to call you. So, like, by the time I'd call them, I was number 134 that's actually called them, and they were pissed off. But the worst part about it wasn't the job itself. It was just, like, the micromanagement. So, like, when you were on calls, you'd have, like, sales coaches or sales directors that were actually listening into your conversations a lot of the time. So I'd be on a call.
Yeah.
That I'd end the call and immediately my phone would ring because they wanted to coach me on how I could be more effective in my next call. I remember in just the hours, I think it's better now because they were sued a bunch of times, but I remember just waiting for my sales director who seemed to always be there. He was a smoker, and he would go to the. I know there was a spot in the parking garage in Troy, Michigan, where I worked at the time. There was a spot in the parking garage where all the smokers went, so I would strategically park my car so I didn't have to pass by there when I was leaving.
Oh,
I'd
nice.
Wait for him to go to the bath, or I'd wait for him to go out and smoke, and then I would sneak out to get out of there. Sometimes he'd call me though and be like, Hey Rob, where'd you go? So that was the worst job I ever had. I think I lasted maybe 8 months and I couldn't take it anymore.
That's tough. Yeah. That's a grind.
So what was your worst job?
You know, I thought about it, you know, we were starting to try to figure this out. I haven't had many jobs, and I actually have had more than I thought, but my worst one was probably, and I started my official work, you know, when I could, right, pretty much as I turned 14 and a half. I got a work permit and I started work, and I haven't stopped. So here it is 30 years later. My worst job was probably my second real job, and I worked at, I took the sound out of my, let's see if I still have it. Yeah, I took the sound out of here, but I worked for Little Caesars, and I was 14.
Pizza.
Exactly. I was probably between 14 and 15. My first job starting out, or my first official job, and I worked there, and I actually liked it, was at Hardee's. And then I was working for $4.50 an hour, and I could make a little bit more, $4.75 an hour at Little Caesars. But the guy that was in charge was, the work wasn't hard, and I eventually just quit because I couldn't take it anymore. But he was always just like enraged, and I think if I remember correctly, he was a dark-skinned Nigerian man that probably, you know, was one of those princes that, you know, couldn't get anybody to follow up on his phone calls, and this was before emails, but he was just always angry, and just nothing you could do, and he was just always yelling and screaming, and I think I just finally fed up and said, screw this. But, you know, I was young at the time too, and I think I just realized I didn't need the hassle, and, you know, when you're a kid, jobs are a dime a dozen, so I eventually left. But yeah, I mean, so nothing as an adult, because really after that, I worked, for a little while at a hot dog place, and then I worked retail for a few years, but always with good bosses. So I was lucky. And then I was somewhere for almost 15 years, 3 years, and then now where I am. So I've been pretty lucky. So I didn't have to do the mortgage sales like you did. So That I'm thankful for.
Now, I was surprised. I thought you were going to say that you quit working at Little Caesars because you found out that the guy who owned Little Caesars also owned the Tigers. But
no, and that was so long ago. There was no baseball here at that time. I probably didn't know that there were Tigers anywhere.
Oh man, Mike Gillich, poor guy died, but he was.
Do they still own the Tigers and Little Caesars together? Is that a Detroit company then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Illich family does.
Maybe that's why they have it, you know, when you went and got the Little Caesars at the game a couple weeks ago. That's probably why.
Oh, yeah.
It's all coming. It's all coming to full circle. For
small
me
world,
now.
Robert. Small world. So well. So so my worst job doesn't reflect my worst boss, which a lot of times I think it does. It's just your worst job just happened to be where you had the worst boss. But for me, my worst boss, I worked for a company called CompUSA. Did they have CompUSA down there?
We did. It's where I bought my first Mac.
They don't exist anymore. And I worked there for a summer, like in between semesters of school. And this guy, Bob. Good old Bob. First off, they were shady as hell. I'm so glad that they're closed as a company because some of the stuff that, they would overprice stuff on the floor. He would have us overprice stuff on the floor so that way we could sell the extended warranty. And the thing is that was crazy though is if the customer didn't want the extended warranty, he still wanted us to sell it at the inflated price, the product, which was over MSRP.
So it kind of like built it in there.
Yeah. So, you know, because it was always like, well, I'll give you $100 off if you buy the warranty. You know, which was bullshit.
I
refused to do it. And so he kind of hated me and he had me working a million hours and stuff like that. What's funny though is, so I quit the job and when I quit it, my way of quitting because I hated him so much was just not to show up anymore. So
we call that gone to lunch.
I literally just stopped showing up to work and started doing something else.
Where's Rob? He went to lunch. Yes, all right,
I've been at lunch for a long time now. I'll tell you that much. But what's funny is I heard sometime later, because I kept in touch with somebody that I worked with over there, that he was later fired. I guess what happened was the security guard at the front of the store, he said something that offended the security guard. So the security guard whipped a handbasket at him. And then apparently it launched this whole investigation into him and the business practices and stuff like that. So, you know, Bob King, if you're listening, go fuck yourself. That was his name. Can
he
I take a really quick piss break before we go into a crazy news story? Because I'm about to... why are you doing this to me? Seriously. I'll be right back. I got to do something. Okay. What happened?
I don't even have any hold music.
See, you are a DJ.
And the card attached would say,
and I'm a pretty hip young man. Okay?
I'm a pretty hip young man.
Oh, man, I've been spinning some sweet tunes while you were gone.
I'm just, Well, so I was feeling a little bit almost queasy earlier. So I thought maybe I was dehydrated. So I drank a bunch of water before I came down here. And then I've been drinking beer while I've been down here. And I'm just like, God, I'm trying to get through this. I'm like, all right, we can do this. Let's power through it. And then just got to the point. I'm like, all right.
That's like when I get up, you know, sometimes I wake up about, you know, like this morning. I think I got to get up at 6, but I wake up at 5. I got to go to the bathroom. I think, well, all right, well, do I lay here for an hour kind of uncomfortable? I can probably make it. Or do I just go with the chance that I'll probably fall asleep where I wouldn't if I feel like I got to go? And then am I going to make it? And then do I wake up in 40 minutes when I had an hour? So
I'm just
going to
start catheterizing myself in the morning and just not worrying about it. Call it a day.
Well, that's the thing. We can all, you know, we can always edit it. Although I won't.
No,
I'll
I figured
all that
you would.
In there, of
asshole.
Course. But... that's why I spin some tunes. I'm like, well, I don't really have any hold music.
Hey, Rob, do you ever jerk your girk in public? Well, this guy did. Let me tell you.
Are you saying you got a crazy news story? Is this your way of saying that we're done for the
night? I think
night?
We just...
We've
gone a long time. Yeah, I had to stop and take a piss break in the middle of the recording. So, I mean, I feel like... there it is. I got to take another one. Please hold.
We'll get to this, but have you heard from Mel? Is she back?
Oh, my mom? Home? I mean, elderly listener? Yeah, they got back last night.
Okay. I knew she was coming back.
What's
this
funny
week.
Is Kelly's been, you know, Kelly's been just itching to get a daytime babysitter back, and that's, you know, my parents are pretty good for that. So yesterday afternoon, I talked to Kelly, and I could just tell she's like fucking, she's bursting at the seams, waiting. She needs a break, yeah. Right?
It's Christmas.
So I said,
for her.
Call my parents, and she says, no, I don't want to bug them. They just got back. I'm like, yeah, but they want to babysit. So I'm like, all right, I took matters into my own hands. So
yeah, they haven't seen him in what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'm on my way home last night. I call my mom. I say, hey, listen. You know, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Kelly's excited about getting her babysitters back. Ha ha. She's going insane. And then my mom's like, well, how about you drop them off tomorrow? I'm like, that's a great idea. We're going to drop them off at 9 o'clock. So I figured, like, I had the whole thing set up. So I'm like, I got home. I'm like, you're dropping Harrison off at 9 o'clock. They don't want him home. You know, they don't want him leaving before 3 o'clock. So you got a bunch of hours to do stuff, and I think it was therapeutic for her. I'm glad she did it.
Well, that's good. That's probably you had lunch.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime we can have lunch, okay, and actually just like have lunch and not you know, have the kids there, it's always a good thing.
Oh, same here. And ours aren't that old. You know, it's 15 and 7. So, you know, same kind of thing. And we look for days. You know, even just throughout the year when we can both take the day off, or if I'm working at home and she's off or vice versa, like, we're going to just go. Or, you know, if the kids are in school and we're both off, then that's really it. We don't really get that other time between, you know, doing things and the soccer games, baseball games, everything else that goes on. You don't really get that time. So, you know, it's when you can take a time like that, then it's worth its weight in gold.
How did we get from jerking it in public to talking about my parents babysitting Harrison today and being able to have lunch with Kelly? So
it's been a long week. So why don't you tell me about your crazy news story?
So this guy, let me tell you this fucker's name.
I know how we got there.
Terry Lee.
You said you had to get up. See, I'm going to derail it again. You said you had, because I have to solve this. You had to get up because you had to go to the bathroom. I played the pee sound, which the last time I played the pee sound was when elderly listener was a guest.
Oh, that's true. Okay, full circle.
So,
good.
All right. So yeah, this all right, guy. So that's closed. I can move on.
Terry Lee Anderson. So he was jerking it in public.
He's got a big scab on his head.
Yeah, this web, WJLA from Washington, D.C.
That's here.
I know, the article says, man found masturbating vigorously in Portland, says he did it because he hates the city.
So yeah, it says Portland police say they've arrested the man for allegedly masturbating vigorously outside a nonprofit.
How do you masturbate vigorously, like really aggressively? Oh yeah. Nonprofit.
Someone called 911 on May 3rd reporting they saw a man exposing himself outside New Avenues for Youth on Southwest 9th Avenue. So not only is he doing it in front of a nonprofit or in public, but he's doing it in front of what's probably a youth center.
This guy's a sick fucker. It says when officers responded, several witnesses pointed out the suspect whose erect penis was exposed to the public while he masturbated vigorously. Court documents say.
The best is his reason. Yeah, come on. That's the punchline of the whole thing. That closes the show there.
And what would? I'll give you the honors to read why he said why he told officers.
It says when an officer asked him why he was doing that in public, the man said he was on meth, wanted to go back to prison, and he expletive hates Portland.
He fucking hates Portland.
So yeah, he was
probably, oh fuck you Portland.
He hated the city of Portland so bad, and he wanted to go back to prison. So go over to the youth center, drop my pants, and hope for the best. So Terry Lee Anderson was arrested on felony charges of public indecency.
I think the meth probably had more to do with it than the fact that he hates Portland. I mean,
somehow it's all intertwined. He's got a lot going on.
It's actually a pretty cool city. You know, not whip your dick out cool, but I mean, you know, pretty cool.
You ever watch Portlandia?
No, I haven't. What's it about?
It's fun.
Portland.
It's about the weird people in Portland. You got to start at the beginning, though. It's usually, and I'll be honest with you, it's one of those, we usually watch it on Saturdays with either wine or vodka. It's one of those shows where you have to have a little bit of the edge taken off already and then go into it. But start at season one. It's on Netflix. It's funny. It loses its luster towards the last couple seasons.
Well, we're watching The Leftovers right now, which is an HBO series. And House of Cards is coming out Tuesday of the next season. So we're going to be binge-watching that for a while.
Yeah, we're powering through that, too. And that's kind of stupid that, you know, you would hope it would come out, like, if it would come out tonight. So that way you have the whole long weekend to do it. But they're going to release it on a Tuesday.
The day they release things is Tuesday. I don't know. I'm bummed, but I'm also kind of relieved that the next season of Game of Thrones isn't coming out until July, just because I feel like it'll give me time to catch up on all these other shows so I can focus vigorously on Game of Thrones when it comes out.
You focus vigorously on that. And we were just talking about that earlier, that there's so much out there to watch that it's hard to keep up with everything.
You got to watch the show. Give it three episodes. Listen, Robert, this is what you got to do.
Okay.
Watch three episodes of it. If after three episodes you say you don't like Game of Thrones, I will never again bother you to watch Game of Thrones.
Well, I've watched like probably the first half of the first episode.
It doesn't count.
I'll start it over. I'll start it over to make sure, because I forgot. All I remember is there was snow. And not Jon Snow, but I remember there was snow.
Well, there was snow. I knew that part. Well, because they were at Winterfell at the beginning. Which is where the Starks lived.
That's where they pipe in all their beer.
They do through a big pipe for their metal whacking festivals.
Vigorously whacking festival.
That's the word for the day, vigorously.
If anybody wants to reach us to tell us what they thought about tonight's episode or give us ideas for any others, you can find us on Facebook. All the links also are at the top of our website, thetwobobs.com. We can be reached at our phone number.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
You're right, elderly listener. We do have a phone number, and that is 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627. Where else can you find us? On the interwebs.
Well, they can find us on all the interweb places at Two Bobs Podcast. So that's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And like I said earlier, thetwobobs.com. Hello at thetwobobs.com if you like to email. And I think that's a wrap. Episode 20, Shits and Giggles, in the book.
Boom. Done. Drop the mic.
Have a great night. Go get some rest.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.